This is Vermont Edition. I'm Mitch Wertlieb in for Jane Lindholm. Well, not really. Jane's actually here, just in a separate studio. And as you have no doubt heard by now, this is a very special edition of the show because it's Jane's final episode of Vermont Edition after nearly 14 years as host of what has become VPR's flagship call-in program. Since assuming hosting duties, Jane has, from the ground up and working with a great supporting staff of producers, editors, and other voices, created a program that has become appointment listening for thousands of Vermonters, discussing a dizzying array of topics of interest to the people of Vermont. And your voices have been an integral part of this journey. Jane has welcomed your phone calls, emails, and story suggestions to forge a listening experience unique to the Green Mountain State. And along the way, has established herself as one of the most respected journalistic voices in state history. Jane is stepping away from her hosting duties to concentrate on other projects, including the podcast But Why? For Curious Kids that she produces with VPR alum Melody Baudette. And you will still hear Jane occasionally as she contributes to special VPR projects in the future. We're going to be joined a little bit later by VPR senior political reporter Bob Kinzel, who hosts the show most Fridays, to get his thoughts as well. But today is really all about celebrating Jane's work on Vermont Edition over the years. And Jane Lindholm, you will be hearing this two-word phrase a lot over this next hour. Thank you, and welcome to Vermont Edition, which sounds so weird for me to say.
It feels so weird, and oh my gosh, Mitch, you know, what an introduction. I keep thinking back to 14 years ago when I was so scared about this new job and could I do it and would Vermonters accept me back? You know, I grew up here partly but had left full-time living in Vermont when my parents divorced when I was 8. And so it was this sort of sense of I want to come home, I want to be embraced, I want to be taken seriously, but I'm 28. Can I make that happen? And will this ever work and can I do it? And now to have this be the culmination is just sort of I'm speechless.
I mean, I guess that anticipates my question is, how are you feeling right now? Because this has been an extraordinary journey for you. It's amazing to me to hear you say, like, how could I do? Would I do okay? Would you? It has been such a fantastic program. How are you feeling right now?
Well, right now I'm starting to feel all kinds of weird things that are making me uncomfortable. But I haven't been feeling anything different up to now, because it's been, you know, every day a new thing. Yesterday, we changed one of the topics in our Vermont Edition show overnight. You know, so it was get prepped. We've got a new segment. We've got to fit this in. What is it going to be like? And then last night, I hosted an event with Sam Sanders, which, because I'm someone who works on deadline, I had not prepared for until about an hour and a half before the event. And so, you know, it has felt like one foot after the other, just trying to run to keep up. And now I think it's all going to sort of wash over me.
Well, it's amazing how work can focus your mind, right? I mean, you don't really have a choice in that circumstance. And you have been doing these shows for so many years over all this time and getting everything prepared and ready. Did you ever envision that Vermont Edition would become the kind of show that it has? And I mean that as an appointment listening kind of show, because people really do tune in to hear you talk about so many different topics under the sun. And I have to imagine that it grew over time. How have you seen this show change over the years?
Yeah, it absolutely did grow over time. And, you know, I did not conceive of the show at all. I was brought in to be the first full-time host, but longtime listeners will remember that Steve Zind hosted a one-year pilot where it was a weekly show on Wednesdays, I think coming in after some of Walter Parker's classical music before our stations split. And John Van Hoosen and Patty Daniels really conceived of this show and brought it to life along with other people. And Bob Kinzel has been the Friday host the entire time that we've been a daily show. And so there were a lot of people working to make this happen. And I think the hope always was that this would be a flagship program, that it could be appointment listening, and that it would develop into a conversation, a back and forth between and among Vermonters. But you never know if it's going to be successful or how long it's going to be successful for and what it's going to feel like and how it will change as new team members move in and out. And I can remember, actually, Peter Shumlin, who was not yet governor at that point, in the first show that we hosted from the State House on the opening day of the legislature, came by after we had done the show, and we were sitting in the cafeteria at the State House, and he said, you know, this was a mistake, moving from switchboard that was happening in the evening evenings to a daily show at noon, no one is ever going to listen to this. You know, you guys made a big mistake. So I often think about that and say, oh, you know, I think we did okay.
If Peter Shumlin would like to call in, the number is 800-639-2211. You know, that is amazing, too, because you don't know how things are going to turn out. The show starts one way, and so many folks have worked on it over the years, and you've seen a lot of producers and editors and a lot of the people that you just mentioned come and go. And we are going to be looking back at some of, I guess, the biggest moments. You can't fit all of them into an hour, and this is going to fly by. But I did want to read this one bit of an email that we got from Tatiana, who wrote to us and said, I was distressed to learn that Jane would be leaving the show, though, of course, I understand that 14 years is a long time for such a job. I appreciate so much her overall vision for the show and how it has been carried out over the years. In particular, I have valued her wide range of interests and the seriousness with which she's taken so many diverse topics. In particular, I valued the environmental programs. I've loved her curiosity about all species, especially the insects. Jane has brought great guests to the show and always thinks of the questions her audience might have. I can picture her thinking about all of this in the listening audience on her shoulders and imagine what we might want to know. Now, I don't know if you know where we're going with this, Jane.
There are a lot of different directions we
can
go with that.
There are a lot. But here's where I'm going with this. In 2010, talking about your environmental reporting, you took a walk in the woods with naturalist and author Mary Holland, whose infatuation with nature culminated in a book called Naturally Curious, a photographic field guide and month-by-month journey through the fields, woods, and marshes of New England. So Jane and Mary had walked maybe 30 feet from Mary's Heartland home before they went down on the ground sniffing for a skunk like scent. Let's give a listen.
Mary, we're down on our hands and knees, and you just made me sniff the ground. What is going on?
Well, this is where a red fox has marked his territory. And Emma, my dog, actually found this yesterday, and it was very potent, but today it's lost a lot of its odor. In February, as you're walking through the woods, you can often smell something that smells like skunk. At that time of year, red foxes are breeding, and especially the male's urine just... it's identical to the skunk smell, but this is a day old, so it's a little fainter.
So you were being asked to, I mean, let's just put it like it is. You were asked to be smelling for fox pee, is that right?
Well, I didn't know what I was supposed to be smelling for when she made me, she was like, put your head down, sniff the ground. And I cut it out, I think, of the interview that aired. But Mary, if you're listening, you'll remember, Mary was so disappointed in me, Mitch, that I couldn't smell what I was supposed to be smelling. And I think she could probably still smell it. And she was being kind when she said it was a day old. But she, you know, there have been several guests who really want me to smell something or taste something, and if I get it wrong, it's like, oh, come on.
You know, you really can't be expected to do everything, Jane. We expect you to do a lot, but not to necessarily smell fox pee. You have done some amazing environmental reporting, and I know there's a fantastic picture of you. I'll just never forget this with a bear, a sleeping bear, mind you. But tell us a little bit about that experience that you had.
Yeah, I mean, Tatiana's right in saying that the environmental stories and the ones specifically about animals and the natural world are a real pleasure for me to do and a real passion and interest of mine. And the Fish and Wildlife Department definitely had my number when Tom Rogers was the communications chief for them, because anytime there was an expedition to go see an animal that they were doing conservation work on, I loved to tag along. And so the bear one was, I think, a 2-year project in Searsburg, where they were checking on hibernating bears through the winter to measure their weight and see how they were sleeping, to see if wind turbines were affecting bear hibernation and bear habitat. And so I went out with this group of fish and wildlife researchers and scientists and officials, and then some other people, including a father and a teenage daughter who were bear hunters who wanted to know a little bit more about the species. And yeah, they used a stun gun, you know, a tranquilizer, mm-hmm, to tranquilize the mom. And she had 2 yearling cubs that we pulled out of her hibernating area. And if they're small cubs, they told me sometimes they have volunteers hold the very tiny cubs inside their jackets to keep them warm. But if they're yearlings, they do tranquilize them too, because they could run. And so that bear was a nicely sleeping bear, yearling cub that I was so thrilled to get a chance to be so up close and personal with.
Oh, what an amazing adventure. We have folks who are calling in, Jane, just chomping at the bit to speak with you. So let's talk with one of them right now. Matthew is on the line. Hi, Matthew.
Hello. How's it going? going?
Good. Go ahead. You're on with Jane.
Jane, I just want to tell you, I love you so much. And, you know, I honestly am going to miss you so much. Ironically, I don't work any longer. I'm going back to work, but I've been out of work for so long. And I used to listen to you at lunchtime every single day. It was like I had to do it. You know, my wife told me that yesterday was your last day, and I was, like, so upset. And today, ironically, I'm driving around in the car feeling like my old self. And, you know, honestly, I'm just so thrilled to have, like, called in and, you know, said that I love you, I'm going to miss you. And I'm moving here from 2016, you know, I moved here in 2016, and, you know, you really, in Vermont Edition, really helped me to become one with Vermont, and I really appreciate that. So you helped me to really look into a community and this brave little state that we live in that really it was unparalleled, still is, and I thank you so much for everything that you do and all your hard work. I really, you know, I truly, truly appreciate that. And Mitch, you know, I love you too, bud.
Really do. Wow, Matthew, that's great. Boy, I you know, what can I say? I think Matthew has kind of nailed it there, Jane. I mean, how do you feel about hearing such wonderful praise from a listener who's so devoted to the show?
I am so honored. Matthew, thank you. I love you too. I mean, it's just, you know, Mitch, when I said I wasn't sure, you know, would Vermonters accept me, embrace me, be willing to listen to this show and share their own experiences and feelings, and, you know, would this work? Hearing something like that from Matthew is such a gift, because that really is the biggest thing that I've gotten out of the last 14 years is this ability to have a conversation with my fellow Vermonters, that we are in conversation together, and that's how I think of Vermont Edition. And so to hear something like that from Matthew just really touches me.
That's wonderful. We have Ken on the line from Newfane now. Hi, Ken. You're on with Jane Lindholm.
Yes. You know, I think another legacy might be just earlier this week with Jane's interview with Tracy Dolan. Now, Tracy Dolan might have been, you know, comfortable by now with repeated, you know, interviews with Jane. But, you know, Jane was right on it and caught her up in her own words. And Tracy even kind of laughed, as I recall earlier this week, you know, because she said, well, yeah, I did say that. And so I just was commenting to the producer. I said, oh, I just wouldn't want to be on the other side of Jane's questions. You know, so I just wanted to note that that kind of journalistic accountability, or that is to say journalists who hold and news people who hold, you know, our elected officials and our appointed officials accountable, especially in an issue as important to all of Vermonters as the COVID crisis.
Wow. Ken, thank you very much for those comments. Jane, I'd like to follow up a little bit on what Ken is saying there, because one of the most difficult jobs, I think, in any kind of call-in program, especially when you have officials on, like Tracy Dolan, is sort of the ability that you have, it's incredible, to almost fact-check in real time. Now, nobody's perfect. You can't get everything right. But how do you keep all of those different floating facts and things in your head so that you can say to Tracy Dolan, wait a minute, that's not exactly what you were saying on a previous, you know, in a previous time? How do you get that together in your head to do that?
Well, I mean, that's the big fear. That's the thing that I would say probably keeps me up at night, is thinking I can't fact check everything in real time. And so, you know, you never want in a live show something to go out that shouldn't, whether it was a mistake that a guest made or something that they're trying to slip by people. And so, you know, that is always my big worry. I think some of it comes with just knowing your subject matter when you've been doing this long enough. I mean, Bob Kinzel, I was always so impressed with him, especially in my early years. Like, how does he know this stuff? And he could just, you know, say, well, but if you think about 10 years ago, the legislature did this. And it was like, right. How does he know that? And you do, you deepen your knowledge and you can pull things out. But also, Mitch, you said, I think, something in the introduction about supporting cast of producers.
Producers, editors, yes.
Yeah, and, you know, I would fact check you on that. It's not a supporting cast. It is essential to a good show is a full team. And we each have different skills and different job descriptions that we bring to the mix. But good producers are essential to a good talk show and to any good program. And so it really is a mix of having producers who have prepped the guest to say, like, you know, this is what the show is. You can expect calls, you know, come ready to talk about these subjects and more. And then to have prepped me and for me to have done my research. And then, you know, some of it is just that deep knowledge.
So you're saying you don't do all this on your own, Jane?
It's secret,
I'm
but true.
So disappointed. Forget it. I'm done with this. Listen, we have so many folks who want to get in and talk to you today, but we have collected some tape already from many VPR listeners who have wanted to say thank you in their own way. And we would like to hear from some of them right now. So here's what some folks have had to say.
Hi, Jane. This is Annie Taylor. I have listened to you since 08 when I moved from the operating room into an office. I'm grateful that you had my brother on your show because now I have his voice to listen to periodically. Glenn Ravden, we lost him in 2019, and now I get to hear his voice again. Anyway, have a great time with your podcast, and we will miss you terribly on Vermont Edition. Thank you.
For years, I have listened to Jane Lindholm's broadcasts, whether I'm interested in the topic or not, simply for the pleasure of hearing a superb journalist at work. Always prepared, asking probing questions without hostility, and so tactfully handling callers who talk too long.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. Today on our show, there may be no more iconic radio intro in Vermont ever. Hey, Jane, this is your pal DJ Lou. I just wanted to make sure you heard loud and clear that you have set the standard for interview journalistic radio in Vermont. Thanks to you, listeners all over the state have discovered new things about their communities, have had hard conversations, listened along to live breaking news coverage, and heard you geek out about gardening, birds, and all sorts of odd things. I think what I'll remember most is about how you infused so much of yourself into your host role with Vermont Edition. Showing up as our true and authentic selves on the mic is the greatest service I think any media maker can do for their audiences. Thank you for all of it.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Mitch Wertlieb in for Jane Lindholm, even though, well, not really, because she's just blushing away in another studio right now. We are appreciating Jane's work as host of Vermont Edition for nearly 14 years as she steps away from hosting duties today to work on other projects. And joining us now is VPR's senior political reporter, Bob Kinzel, who's been hosting the show most Friday afternoons. Hi, Bob. How you doing?
Mitch, doing great. Hey, Jane.
Hey, Bob.
So, Bob, this is a strange day. It's, at least for me, this is a really strange feeling. I'm happy, but I'm so sad at the same time. I'm sure you're having a lot of the same feelings, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely, Mitch. You know, I could be wrong, but I think I've been on the air more with Jane than anyone else at VPR in the last 14 years. So I did a little research to see if this was true. And here's what I found. We have done 132 gubernatorial COVID press briefings together. It'll be number 133 tomorrow. We have co-hosted 7 statewide gubernatorial debates, including one where a candidate asked Jane during the debate, "Hey, Jane, how do you think I'm doing?" This might be the only time that a question has left Jane speechless. We've also been involved in VPR's special event live coverage, you know, the joint assemblies of the legislature, state of the state, budget speeches. We've done more than 50 of those together. From time to time, I've been a guest on Vermont Edition with Jane discussing legislative or political issues. I counted more than 50 of those. So I'm somewhere around 240 or 250 appearances with Jane over the last 14 years. Now, what I've concluded that Jane does some of the best interviews I've ever heard at the local, state, or national level. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons is her exceptional quality to listen, to ask an intelligent question, and then listen to what the guest has to say. It's really becoming a lost art. You know, many hosts these days will ask a question, then move on to the next question, and then move on to the next question. Jane doesn't do that. She listens to the answer, and it opens up an unexpected and spontaneous topic of conversation. Now, one of our previous callers talked about, boy, I wouldn't want to be interviewed by Jane. Well, Jane can be very persistent. And the word I would use is tenacious. Mm. Now, here's an example with Bernie Sanders. Jane asked Bernie if he supports a national registry for guns. He said yes, but then he quickly changed the subject to discuss his support for background checks. Jane wanted to clarify this situation.
But you didn't answer my question about the registry, because what you said in terms of knowing who has guns, that's not something that we have in this country right now. And if you want to know who has a gun, whether they should or not, then you kind of have to have a registry so you can trace the history of that gun.
I mean, if you go in, Jane, if you go into a gun shop right now and you buy a gun, you have to. They will check out whether or not what your background is.
That's a background check. That's different. They know that I purchased the gun, and if you go to that gun shop, you will find that purchase, you know, that I've made it. If I give my gun to my husband and he gives his gun to his brother, nobody knows who has that gun.
Well, if you that's a good point.
You don't hear that often from Senator Sanders. Yeah, that's a good
that's a good point.
So I would echo the thought of our caller who said, you know, if I had something to hide or something I really didn't want to discuss on the air, Jane Lindholm is the last person in the world that I want to talk to. You know, one other thing, one of Jane's responsibilities has been to interview state officials. You know, they'll tell you that she's been very fair in those interviews, tough but very fair, probing, detailed. Here's what Governor Phil Scott and Lieutenant Governor Molly Gray had to say.
Hey, Jane. Governor Phil Scott here, and I wanted to join Vermonters across the state recognizing your years hosting Vermont Edition. Through your hard work and dedication, you've asked tough but fair questions, held elected officials accountable, myself included, and kept your listeners informed. Although you'll be missed on Vermont Edition, I'm sure you'll continue to have an impact on new projects and future endeavors with VPR. Thanks again.
Jane Lindholm is in our cars, our homes, at our kitchen tables, or wherever we tune in to VPR. Over the years and throughout this pandemic, she has reported with compassion and accessibility, demystifying challenging topics and helping us understand why they matter. In public service, the boardroom, and radio, it is often said, if you can't see it, or in this case, hear it, you can't be it. For a generation of Vermonters, myself included, Jane has always been a trailblazer. Whether intentional or not, she has served as a role model, asking important questions and giving voice to women. She will be missed on air.
Jane has also done a lot of interviews with our congressional delegation, and it's interesting that congressional delegation has not changed over the last 14 years. Here's Senator Patrick Leahy and Congressman Peter Welch.
We Vermonters know that over the past 14 years, Jane Lindholm has really become a Vermont institution. Her probing but gracious style of questioning has endeared VPR listeners, myself included, while her research, her breadth of knowledge, impresses us with every new show, and her curiosity makes us curious. From apples to zebras, Jane knows her subjects. Jane, we'll miss hearing you on Vermont Edition, but Marcel and I are grateful you'll be staying on with VPR and putting your tremendous energies into your popular podcast for kids, along with other projects. Thank you, Jane. You've made Vermont an even better place.
Congratulations to Jane Lindholm. Butt-Wide Kids will be a tremendous addition to Vermont, but make no mistake, we're going to miss you and your beautiful facility with the English language on Vermont Edition. Your questions, every word precise, with a follow-up that elicited real information and a tone of voice that respected listeners and getting the information to them. What a fantastic contributor you've been.
I'm feeling a little uncomfortable. I mean, these are not people who I'm supposed to be getting kudos from. I'm supposed to be grilling them. This feels weird.
Well, making you uncomfortable is part,
Jane,
of the plan today.
Yeah, but I think what this really highlights, Jane, is that you are able to grill them. You hold these people accountable, and they understand that that's what your job is, and they're looking at you as a very fair person, a very honest journalist, and doing your job. And so that's what I think really the important point here is. You hold them accountable. You grill these people. And you know what? They're thankful for that. They think that that's a very fair way to operate in the state of Vermont, and it says a lot about politics in the state that you're able to do that. You know, I just wanted to underscore one thing, Mitch.
Sure.
Senator Leahy said, well, she talks about apples to zebras. Well, you know, one of the things I am just amazed about when I see the lineup for Vermont Edition every week is how diverse the topics are.
Yeah.
You know, Jane can be talking about very complicated healthcare issues. The next day she's talking about insects. Then she's interviewing an author of a book. And then the next day, perhaps she's talking about foreign policy with a member of the congressional delegation. She might switch gears and talk about gardening or social issues. Just the array of topics that Jane can talk about with great knowledge and great certainty is just amazing to me. I mean, I get to do this one program on Friday where politics is usually the focus. Jane covers everything, and it's just a remarkable talent that she's been able to do all that.
Yeah, it is exactly that, Bob, and I think that's part of what amazes me, too, and that's why I was asking Jane before, let's talk about her like she's not really here, you know, about how do you keep all these things in your head? How are you able to ask just the right question? Let's go back to our callers right now. We have Mary on the line from Winchester. Hi, Mary.
Hi, this is Mary Gannon. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Mary.
And I know each other through. Hi, we know our work, my work and your work together through the Vermont Partnership and the Vision Conference. And I just have such a clear memory of the first time I met you at one of those first Vermont Vision for Multicultural Future conferences. And we were sitting together and just wrestling with the difficulties of talking about white privilege and all the topics that white people need to talk about around racial equity. So I just want to thank you because you have championed this work at VPR, and you have also brought a lot of humility and modeled that. And I hope other white folks can hear this because that's so important. And I just want to thank you and all the hard conversations on air with people around these very difficult topics. So I wish you the best, and I'm glad you'll still be in the state.
Thank you, Mary, and still be grappling with all of those hard issues on the air and off the air, too.
Let's go to Tim Searles, who's on the line with us now from Grand Isle. Hi, Tim.
Hi.
You're on with
Jane.
Hi, Tim. Nice to talk with you.
Yeah, unless memory fails me, I think that I may have been your very first guest on Vermont Edition all those years ago, 14 years ago. I was the director of the local Office of Economic Opportunity, and I came on to talk about energy assistance for low-income Vermonters.
Yep.
And I thought it was really terrific because you called your mom just before we went on the air and said, I'm about to go. Wish me luck. And I thought that was very sweet. I have a daughter about your age, and I thought that was very thoughtful of you to call your mom before you went on the air. But that's my memory of it. I think I was your very first guest.
You could well be, Tim. I don't even remember now. It was, I think, August 13th of 2007, right? Wouldn't it have been 2007? That would have given us, almost 14 years.
At that time, like I said, I was the director of the Office of Economic Opportunity here in the Champlain Valley. So, but I just thought I'd mention that, and I was just really impressed with what a great job you did for your first show.
Oh, thank you. Thanks. I was very nervous that first show and many shows since, so I appreciate that. Thank you, Tim.
How cool is it to have Jane's very first guest on the show bringing this completely full circle, Bob? That's remarkable.
That really is. And, you know, when I'm thinking back on all the shows that have happened in the last 14 years, there's just a quality standard that Jane put together that is so amazing. I mean, in listening to Vermont Edition, it could be like listening to a national show. Jane has brought such professionalism to it. And the other thing I think that, I mean, I want to say I've learned a lot from Jane over the years. One is how to listen. I hope I listen better now than I used to because Jane has shown me how important that is. Jane also has a lot of compassion for our listeners. Sometimes listeners share situations with us that are difficult, that are emotional, and Jane just really connects with those people at that level. And that is such a rare quality that it's been just amazing to watch. And it's been so impressive. And I've really tried to learn from that. And you know, sir, the good news here is that Jane's going to be staying with VPR, working on a number of projects, and I do have to get a promise out of her because I'm going to just miss her terribly with Vermont Edition. But Jane, You are coming back to do the music show, aren't you?
If you'll have me. If you'll have me, Bob. Bob, before you go, I want to say to you, I have learned so much from you, both personally and professionally as well, and I have so valued your friendship and our ability to be colleagues and compatriots and coworkers. And it's just, you know, it's been remarkable to me to think about your career and how you operate as a host, but on the personal level, when I had my two children, you have been such a warm, wonderful, welcoming presence to how to be a parent and a professional at the same time. You're known as the baby whisperer. And when I had to bring my daughter to the 2016 election night coverage that we were anchoring until like 2 a.m, I have pictures of you holding her that night, and your ability to say, it's fine, you can be a parent and a professional, was really helpful to me when I wasn't sure how to do that. And your sense of a sort of Zen perspective on, you know, you just have to do what you can today and then do the best you can the next day and let some things go. I'm not very good at letting things go, and I've learned a lot from you on that score.
Well, it's great to hear, Jane. I really appreciate it. And I'm so glad that you're going to still be a member of the VPR family.
Me too.
That's VPR senior political reporter Bob Kinzel and Jane Lindholm, and me getting a little bit verklempt. We have some other listeners who would like to say some things, Jane, just before we go to break.
Hi, Jane. It's been such a blessing for me to be able to listen to you on Vermont Edition almost every weekday for the last 13 or so years. You have been such a well-spoken, empathic, and unflappable host. And I have learned so much about my home state from you and your guests and your callers. I can't wait to see what you accomplish next at VPR.
Thanks for your 14 years as host of Vermont Edition, Jane. I love how you ask great questions and let your guests stay in the spotlight. And I love how you make every topic interesting.
Hey, Jane, thank you for everything. You've made me into quite a discerning listener. These days, I listen so carefully to figure out if you're broadcasting from underneath your dog's blanket. You're one in a million.
Jane Lindholm, you are beloved for the life and color and intelligence you've brought to Vermont Edition. So much so that when my husband was touring VPR's new offices and spotted you, he asked his guide for permission to approach you, and you very graciously provided him with an autograph personalized to me, and he framed it, and it sits in my office today. And I know that sounds really, really silly, but it just shows how much you've meant to us over the years. Thank you so much.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Mitch Wertlieb, and heading into the home stretch now of today's bittersweet farewell to Jane Lindholm as the host of Vermont Edition, a program she's hosted for nearly 14 years and one that has become appointment listening for thousands of Vermonters. We want to let you know that Bob Kinzel and a rotating cast of guest hosts will be taking the show through the next few months, and then two terrific new full-time Vermont Edition hosts, Connor Cyrus and Michaela LaFrac, will come on board later this summer. And Jane, I should mention that before we went to break there, as we heard that montage of voices,
one of those voices was very familiar.
Very familiar to you. A fellow named Carl, I believe it was.
Yeah, Carl with a K from Cornwall. My dad. I was like, that's my dad's voice. But he's also a Vermonter. He's a very careful listener for two reasons.
He is indeed. And it's terrific because your dad happens to have a wonderful knowledge of baseball. And this is something that Bob Kinzel and I, of course, love to do, the annual baseball show. We've got one coming up in about a week as baseball's starting again. And Carl Lindholm will be one of our guests on that program.
And I swear it's not nepotism. He is a baseball scholar.
Oh, he's a big-time baseball scholar, and he's going to really provide us with some fascinating information. So we did want to give Carl his nod there, though. I think that's important to know. I know that you used to roll your eyes a little bit when he would call in occasionally. Didn't he call in quite a bit to Vermont Edition?
Yeah, we had a talk early on, and I think he knew this anyway, but I said you cannot call in on any political or controversial topics. Not only should you not call in, but I will tell our call screener not to take your call. And but you know, my dad's been a professor and a scholar, and he's got a lot of experience with various things. So on subjects like literature or, you know, other cultural topics, he will sometimes call in and add his voice, and I always appreciate it.
Well, we want to bring in some other callers now who are not your dad. Tom is on the line with
you. Don't
us
know that, Mitch.
I don't know that yet. Hi, Tom. You're on with Jane Lindholm.
Hi, Jane. It's Tom Rogers calling.
Hey, Tom.
Just wanted to remember a few of our really fun times together out in the field when we were doing wildlife pieces. I remember the bear radio collaring study where you got to, see some bears being collared in their dens. And then there was another time where we were out doing a piece on bats in what had to have been the buggiest place in all of Vermont, in Cornwall Swamp that night on a very hot, muggy summer night.
Oh, it was awful.
But one of my favorite ones was the time we were out together at the rattlesnake dens. And I remember when we were kind of thinking about doing a story on that, you know, rattlesnakes are not the most beloved species of wildlife in Vermont. And we were like, who can do a piece on this that will shine a light on the species that people should care about and appreciate? And you were, you know, absolutely the first person that came to mind.
Thanks, Tom. And that was really a special treat for me because I've lived in California and seen rattlesnakes out west, but didn't even know growing up here that there was a rattlesnake population. And it's kind of still a secret where exactly the rattlesnakes are because, as Tom says, they're not very beloved. But it was awe-inspiring to be able to see them. And I can remember going with you, Tom, and with I can't remember. Who was it? Who was the Fish and Wildlife biologist?
Doug Blodgett.
Doug Blodgett. And Doug saying, there it is. You see it? I'd go, no. You go, right there. You see it? No. And they're so camouflaged in the rocks. But I also remember telling Tom and Doug Blodgett before we got halfway up the hill, just blurting out to them, I'm pregnant, because Doug had told us where the instructions were, laminated instructions for the nearest hospital with anti-venom if any of us got bitten. And I thought, oh, one of them better know that I am pregnant, even though nobody else at work knows yet.
I think told them before you told us. Okay.
Oh, yeah. And then they said, how far along are you? I think I lied. And I was like, oh, you know, 13, 14 weeks. I think it was like 7.
Zach is on the line from Hyde Park. Hi, Zach.
Hi, Jane. I want to say a big thank you for all of your work and getting voices from across our state and allowing them to be heard. And I want to appreciate in particular your most graceful way of cutting people off. I think it is a skill that is unmatched. And the way you can take the most convoluted stream of consciousness from a caller and redirect that into a concise question, and make that person still feel heard, even though you might be cutting their time short, is really amazing. And it's something I greatly appreciate, having been a caller many times over the years. So thank you so much for that, and best of luck in your next endeavors.
Thank you, Zach. I really appreciate that. And I just want to say, Mitch, about callers, you know, I think when we are in conversation together, the fact that callers are willing to share their perspective, their opinions, their questions is a gift. And I don't take that for granted, that, you know, this is part of what makes the show work. And, you know, what makes my job fun is that we do get to have these talks together.
I'm glad you also didn't cut off Zach too soon.
I know.
That would have been ironic.
I should have done it.
He would have appreciated it. We got this email from John who writes, all the best to you, Jane. I've enjoyed your presence all these years on Vermont Edition, and I'll miss you. Your intelligence and your warm radio personality will carry you far. Don't forget us, he adds. And I would second that emotion right there. We have Jen on the line from Royalton. Hi, Jen.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're on with Jane Lindholm.
Okay. Woo. Good thing that I had some minutes to regroup, because I'm pretty teary about this. But Jane came to do an interview at my farm, Fat Rooster Farm, and she recorded my peacocks, Billy Hinton, Billy Clinton, sorry, and Hillary. And she said that her husband was, like, so enamored of the BBC, and I was like, man, you're going to blow them away. So, I'm so sorry that you're not going to be there, but good luck. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Jen. I think that might be Jennifer McGessie, who wrote a book, The Joy of Keeping Chickens, which is a book I still have because I'm still trying to convince the rest of my family that we should keep chickens. So I appreciate that, Jen.
You're not getting very far with that endeavor, I'm taking it?
I have been told if we keep chickens, I have to be responsible for every single aspect of their care, and I have too many creatures who I have that responsibility for already.
Totally, totally fair. We have Chris on the line from Randolph. Chris Recchia. Hi, Chris.
Hey, hi, Mitch. Hi, Bob. Hi, Jane. This
is Chris.
Recchia. I just wanted to say thank you so much. I'll go in the category of people that you've appropriately pushed to provide the public with the information they need. And I really looked at you as a resource. So I was probably on the show probably a half a dozen times over the years, and just thought you were so gracious to everybody, and but also got the information out to people that they needed, and you really were and are a tremendous asset to Vermont, and I wish you really all the best, and I'm glad I got a chance to call in and say that.
Chris, thank you so much. We really appreciate that.
And let's go to Connor, who's on the line from Linden. Hi, Connor.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing okay. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad. I just wanted to say, you know, I'm a sixth generation Vermonter, and you know, I think what Vermont Edition and what you have done, Jane, over the last 14 years in particular, the service to the state, especially rural parts, and helping us to broaden the definition of what a Vermonter should and could be, has just been incalculable. So I just wanted to thank you so much for, you know, reaching out to every part of the state, in particular rural parts. But yeah, thank you so much.
Connor, wow, you're making me emotional, because I do hope that as we continue to move forward at VPR and with Vermont Edition, that is one of the areas that we push on, that there are differences and similarities between more rural and more urban parts of the state, and we need to do a better job of bringing people in so that we're all involved in this conversation, not sort of talking at or talking about people. And so rural issues have been kind of a focus for me, and something that I hope to be able to continue with moving forward.
I think we can fit in one more caller. Jackson on the line from Braintree. Hi, Jackson.
Hi, Mitch. Hi, Jane. Thank you so much for taking my call. My question is really simple. Now that Jane's stepping away from this microphone, are we finally going to get the Mitch and Jane morning drive time show we've been promised?
We could do it, Mitch. The morning zoo. This is our chance.
Jackson has been listening to the membership drives. It sounds like you and I have talked about that before. I have loved doing the membership drive, the pledging and the pitching with you, Jane. It's been one of the joys that I've had at this job. You have pushed me. We have made some great goals together.
We have made music videos.
I was going to mention, maybe you could call me, baby. Jackson, thank you for that. I don't know is the answer to your question. I'm going to leave that to Jane down the line.
I've pitched our president and CEO. Haven't gotten a response yet.
It's funny. I've tried the same thing and nothing, just crickets and tumbleweeds. Jackson, thank you very much for that call. I appreciate that. The Call Me Maybe video, really, I had to be talked into that by you, Jane. That was completely your idea. And I just, one of my favorite memories about that is thinking that once we did cut that video and put it up there, how cool I, you know, was like, hey, I'm doing this, like, this is a hot tune right now. And then you had to bring me down to earth by saying, yeah, that song's really about 2 years old.
Yeah, we were a year late for that particular party.
On that one. We have not just listeners who appreciate you, Jane, obviously. The members of VPR staff care a great deal about you, and they have put together a little bit of a montage, which we'd like to play for you now.
Hi, Jane. This is Scott Finn.
This is Sarah Ashworth.
This is Matthew Smith.
It's JVH.
Betty Smith here.
This is Melody Baudet.
This is Sam Sanders, the other Sam Sanders.
Jane, this is Sage.
Hey, Jane, this is Sam, a guy you know from work.
Jane, it's Patty. What the fuck? I can't believe that you're leaving Vermont Edition. I mean, I can. It's time.
Thank you for always lifting up the voices of people that we often don't hear like we ought to on public radio and in the media in general.
I just want to thank you, Jane, for how committed you are to just being a really fair and honest and open journalist. And I think you've taught me the value of those things, and we see and hear you live them every day.
Jane just had this tireless dedication to making each show shine and make it as interesting for our listeners and informative for our listeners as possible.
And what mattered so much is that you've led a conversation for all of us. When you ask a question, it's our question. You've been our proxy, and you have been so good at it.
I think that my favorite moments with you have involved spelunking for bats and tracking bears, or maybe even trading quips with super troopers or the wild krats.
But one of the things that doesn't always come across on the air is just how unflappable she is. The technology could literally be falling apart around her, and she will just calmly be able to keep the show going. She can be typing a question to her producers while at the same time listening intently to the guest and not miss anything they say.
Of your Leaving Vermont edition, I can only say, but why?
I hope you can recapture some of the thrill of live radio with the podcast. I know you will.
I'm gonna make my infant son listen to Budweiser, even if he doesn't want to, because you are the bomb and good at your job.
Get yourself a great craft cocktail, kick back, and get ready for the next chapter. Super exciting. I'm beeping out all the swears to make sure this message is FCC approved. Love you. Take care.
You okay there, Jane?
No, that was mean. That was mean to do to me.
Of course it was. Of course it was mean.
Mitch, because I value and appreciate so much the audience members, the listeners, the people in Vermont who come together. But I think for all of us, you want to be appreciated by your peers, because that's in some ways a sign of that if they value your work, you know, that says something different too. And so that just, yeah, it was... But, oh my God, Sam Gale Rosen singing and Patty Daniels swearing. Patty is swearing partly because she knows that in one show that she produced, I let a guest say the F word twice on air live. And I still kept my job.
You did. Jane, it's clear from this past hour what an astonishing impact you've had on VPR and the listener family over these past 14 years, and our own staff, of course. I just want to add my own appreciation for your professionalism, your intellectual curiosity, your tough but fair interviewing style, and for providing a template of sorts for the kind of radio listening experience I've tried to bring to Morning Edition each day. And during those times when I have subbed in for you as the host of Vermont Edition, one great rule of thumb has been, think WWJA. What would Jane ask, you know, if there's a challenging topic? In the interest of transparency, I also want our listeners to know that, you know, during this really difficult past year when the pandemic affected all of us so profoundly, you've really been there for me during my own struggles and crises of confidence. Doing this job has in many ways never been more difficult. And when I asked if I could talk to you recently, you didn't just give a polite response or say, sure, you know, let me know when. You said, let's talk now, let's make time. And being able to speak with you openly and honestly, to experience your extraordinary ability to listen and provide comfort and wisdom, has meant more to me than I can possibly convey here. So as much as I've benefited from your example as an extraordinary broadcast journalist, someone I'll always look up to professionally, as much as I appreciate that, I just value your friendship over these many years even more.
Mitch.
From heart and spirit, it's all I can muster to say right now is thank you.
Thank you, Mitch. Now we're both going to cry. This is not fair. This is not fair, and I feel a little bit like Tom Sawyer attending my own funeral, but I'm not dead yet.
No,
I'll be back.
You're not, and you will be back indeed.